Welcome to A Free Disputation Against Pretended Liberty of Conscience by Samuel Rutherford. We are continuing to read at page 327 for this reading in chapter number 25. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reform books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, are on the web at www.swrb.com. Also, please consider, pray, and act upon the important truths found in the following quotation by Charles Spurgeon. Quote, as the Apostle says to Timothy, so also he says to everyone, give yourself to reading. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read. Renounce as much as you will all light literature, but study as much as possible sound theological works, especially the Puritanic writers and expositions of the Bible. The best way for you to spend your leisure is to be either reading or praying, unquote. And now to SWRB's reading of A Free Disputation Against Pretended Liberty of Conscience, which we hope you find to be a great blessing, and which we pray draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. John chapter 14, verse 6. It is a token the man is scant and ebb of proofs in Scripture when he can prove liberty of conscience by no Scripture, but one wing and tithe of a parable never expounded by Christ, who yet expoundeth all the rest of the parts of the parables, and yet, as I have said before, the tares are not expounded by Christ to be heretics, but verse 38, the tares are the children of the wicked one, and verse 41, all things that offend and do iniquity. Mr. Goodwin denies that heretics are ill-doers. Mr. Williams saith, they do iniquity, but if he would expound and apply all the tithes and joints of the parable, then Mr. Williams must tell us what the sleeping of men, verse 25, and what the springing up of the blade is, and the bringing forth of the fruit is, verse 26, and how men quarrel with God because of the prosperity of heretics, when as Scripture extends the prosperity that stumbles men to the most wicked who are fat and rich. In Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 4, Jeremiah 12, 12, Job chapter 22, verse 1 through 3, and what the bundles are, verses 30, since Mr. Williams, as all libertines and Anabaptists are, is bold with the word to expound tares otherwise than the word of God and our Savior Christ doth, who of purpose expoundeth the tares to be workers of iniquity and ill-doers. Now heretics to Master Williams and libertines are no ill-doers, but innocent men, men that fear God, such as suffer persecution for conscience, the children of light, of the promise, of the free woman, persecuted by the children of this world and the sons of the bondwoman. As all their books say, how doth Christ make these heretics that are named tares, such as grow and flourish till harvest, and then these innocent men that feared God are judged by God offenders in Christ's kingdom? Workers of iniquity cast into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. To conclude, why doth Mr. Williams say the magistrate oweth protection to the true church apart and met together, and saith not that he owes protection to the false church? The same way apart and met together, he must secretly insinuate that the magistrate oweth some singular royal protection to the assemblies of Anabaptists and Seekers and the true church, which he oweth not to the church of wicked men met and assembled for worship. Yet when the wicked are assembled in the valley of the sons of Hinnom to burn their sons to devils, when they are met in the high places to offer and sacrifice to the Son and the Queen of Heaven, and to adore the works of men's hands, even then are these men subjects under a lawful prince, and this prince must either in such abominable and bloody worship defend their persons and estates from violence, or then, number one, Master Williams saith amiss, two, the prince must by his office serve the devil and countenance and defend a most wicked and bloody service, such as son slaughter and idolatry, and that against his conscience, though he judge them a false church. Three, the prince, if he withdraw his royal defense, is wanting in his office, and yet it is his conscience to neglect duty to such. Four, and must force the consciences of people in tempting them to desist from what they in conscience conceive to be the highest worship and expression of love, fear, and reverence to God, in that he refuses to protect them in manslaughter and such service to God which they dare not venture on without his protection, lest men rise up against them and destroy them. Mr. William addeth, page 216, to profess the magistrate must force the church to do her duty, and yet the magistrate must not judge what that duty is, must be to play in spiritual things. Answer, that the magistrate should compel godly men to keep peace, and a David, suppose he were a subject, not to kill, not to commit adultery, under the pain of civil punishment, I suppose is not heresy. And yet I see not how the magistrate is not to judge according to the word of God what is willful murder, and so deserveth death by the law of God, what is accidental killing, and deserveth no death, but a refuge and a manaprise. But the magistrate, say libertines, should not judge what is heresy, what sound doctrine. Why? Because that is to be judged according to the word of God by pastors. But that is non causa pro causa. For the king is to judge what is murder, what not, and all matters belonging to a civil judge, what is morally good and evil, and what is punishable by the sword, what not, by reading on the book of the law when he sitteth on the throne, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 and 19. But this he judgeth in order to civil punishment, and not in order to the gaining of souls, and in so as concerns his practice. And the same way is he to judge what is heresy, what not. If this be not said, then should we play indeed in spiritual matters? Question. But what is not the Christian ruler, then, as a ruler, to judge whether Arius ought to be banished and imprisoned, who denieth the Son of God to be consubstantial with the Father? And so all rulers are to judge of heresies and gospel truths, even Indian and pagan magistrates, who are essentially magistrates, as well as Christian rulers. For quod convenit, Greek, convenit, Greek. Answer, there is a difference betwixt a ruler and such a ruler, a Christian ruler or a heathen ruler. A ruler as a ruler should judge of all civil businesses and of truths and falsehood in religion, for all nations have some God and some religion. But a ruler as a Christian ruler only, not as a ruler as the notion of genus, a ruler doth agree to both the heathen and the Christian ruler, ought not to judge what is gospel truth or gospel untruth, for then all magistrates, heathen or pagan or what not, should judge the gospel truths, though they be not obliged to believe in Christ or to know the gospel, which they never heard, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. Now this is absurd, but only rulers as Christian rulers should judge of gospel truths. Magistrates should judge, but all magistrates as magistrates should not judge of all businesses and of all matters belonging to all countries. for then an Indian magistrate should judge of all the matters of France, England, Scotland, which cannot be said so a magistrate should judge of religion, but not all magistrates of all religions, for heathen magistrates cannot judge, nor ought not to judge whether Arianism be heresy or not, and whether it be punishable by the sword or not, whether Christ mediator hath one will, as the monothelites said, or two, as the Catholic Protestants said, because the heathen magistrate, as we suppose, never heard of Christ, so we say a judge of France cannot judge as a judge of transporting of wool out of England, or of wax out of Scotland, nor can an English judge as a judge of transporting of wines out of France, or of crying down, or up the worth of money within Scotland. Only the judges of France can and ought to judge of the former, and that not as judges simply, but as such judges of France, and only the judges of Scotland, as they are such, can judge of crying up or down money in Scotland. And upon the same ground, judges as judges are not, nor ought they as judges, to determine what gospel truths are praiseworthy in order to civil rewards, and what gospel heresies are punishable. For of these they are to determine judicially as such judges, as Christian judges, who are hearers of the gospel. Though Christianity add nothing to the essence of a judge as a judge, yet Christianity addeth something to the being and authoritative power of such a judge, a Christian, a Scottish, an English judge. This remaineth then true of a judge. What a judge doth as a judge, that all judges may do, for quod convenit, Greek word, convenit, Greek word, but what such a judge doth as such a judge, as Christian, as Scottish, as English, that all judges may not, nor cannot do, so a Christian husband, father, master, as Christian, is to give Christian counsels and instruction to his wife, children, servants. But it follows not that all husbands, all fathers, all masters, though heathenish and pagan, though they never heard of Christ, are to give Christian counsels and instructions according to the principles of the gospel to their wives, sons, servants. So the Christian prince, not as a prince simply, but as a Christian prince, is to confer his royal authority in a political and coactive way to promote the mediatory kingdom of Christ, which all judges on earth are not to do. For these judges only, Psalm 2, are to kiss the Son, who hear the decree published, Thou are my Son. Psalm 2, 6. For a law never promulgated, neither by heart engraving, neither by ministerial publication, can oblige no man, as is clear in Romans 2:12, Romans 10:14-15, and 5:13, John chapter 15:22, Matthew 11:22-24. Yet shall it not follow that the Christian judge is a sub-mediator under Christ, and subordinate as a vicegerent to the mediator? For the Christian magistrate does not promote Christ's kingdom as the minister of Christ or as representing Christ's person. For the Christian magistrate is the minister of God and the vicegerent of God. Now God, as the sovereign Lord, hath a coactive power over all. The magistrate, heathen or Christian, is his vicegerent, and the Christian ruler may compel with the sword all to serve the Son. Yet the Son, as mediator, whose kingdom is not of this world, sends not men out to promote his kingdom with the sword. John chapter 18, verse 36-37. Mr. Williams, civil peace is pax civitatis, the peace of the city, Jeremiah 29:7, pray for the peace of the city, which piece of the city or citizens so compacted in a civil way of union may be entire, unbroken, safe, etc., notwithstanding so many thousands of God's people, the Jews, were there in bondage, and would neither be constrained to the worship of the city of Babel, nor restrained from so much of the worship of the true God as they could practice, as is plain in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, in Daniel chapter 6, who would rather suffer than desist from true worship or practice false? So the Americans and wildest Papists keep the peace of their towns and cities safe and distinct where there is no spiritual and heavenly peace. Answer. All this is to prove that there may be no breach of city peace or civil peace where there are multitudes of sundry religions. But number one, the man should remember there is a Christian external peace which in an ordinary providence can not be kept where there be diverse religions and sundry ways of worshiping Christ. And we believe our Savior intendeth so much. Matthew chapter 10 verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. Verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother. Luke chapter 21, verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by your parents, brethren, kinfolks, and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And what is the quarrel but diverse religions and ways of worship about Christ? So Paul exhorteth to Christian peace, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, not because of contrary religions and many sectaries called the holy party that are to be tolerated in meekness and mutual forbearance, but verse 5, because there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and but one religion, whether Presbyterial or independent, and since the apostles and Christ in the New Testament so often recommend peace and never once insinuate forbearance in diversity of religion, and all the apostles and apostolic church had but one religion, toleration of many religions not being a part of the New Testament liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, as is the liberty from ceremonies and righteousness by the law that the foolish Galatians affected in Galatians 5 verses 1 and 2, we conclude there is a law against toleration of many religions, not any repealing of that law in the New Testament, but diverse religions expressly forbidden as contrary to peace, and foretold to fall out as sad judgments, Matthew chapter 10, verse 35, Matthew 24:24, Luke 21, verses 14 through 18, 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, 2 Timothy 3, 5, verse 5 through 8, and 2 John 10. Assermonti incubis probatio. Our adversaries are obliged to give us precept, promise, or godly practice. Why a moral sin forbidden and severely punished in the Old Testament should yet remain a moral sin in the New Testament and yet not be punishable by men or churches. Yea, Solomon's toleration of the idolatrous worship in 1 Kings 11 provoked the Lord to anger, yet his wives' consciences should not have been compelled to leave off the worshipping of the gods of the Moabites, Ammonites, by this way. Romans 14, verse 19, let us follow after the thing that makes for peace, saith Paul. But toleration of many religions is contrary to peace. If one of them be the only true way, the rest are all false ways. The mixture of the two contrary seeds, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, must be against peace, and Paul exhorting to union and Christian peace thinks many religions, many sects, and opinions tolerated in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 to be just contrary to peace. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hence he seriously dehorts from schisms and sects, whereas upon supposition of diverse sects, all being godly, we should have some charitable precepts commanding men of diverse religions to bear with one another. But where is that written? And if they dwell together peaceably, why but they may marry together? Ahab then, in marrying the king of the Zidonians' daughter, failed not, and he married her wicked religion. Clotildis, the daughter of Clodovius, married Almericus, the Arian, king of the Wisigoths, the maid being educated in the sound faith, but Procopius, 1:1, Belgotharum, said, there was never peace between them. As for Mr. Williams' Chaldean and heathenish or American peace, we leave it to himself, the people, the peace the people of God was to pray for in Jeremiah 29 was only outward prosperity, freedom from the sword of Egypt and from other nations, that the captive church might also partake of that peace. But I hope Jeremiah had not the people of God in Judea under the Babylonish captivity follow an heathenish peace with toleration of diverse religions, or yet a religious peace or a church peace that standeth well with many religions. Yea, they are to denounce wrath against the Chaldean religion, Jeremiah 10, verse 11, and would he have Christians all keeping such an heathenish unity and peace, as Babylonians and Americans have, and in the meantime tolerate all religions? Christians who have one God and one faith and one hope are to follow more than a civil and heathenish peace. It is therefore in vain for libertines to tell us that Abraham lived long amongst the Canaanites, who were contrary to him in religion, in Genesis 13. Isaac with them, Genesis 26, and Jacob 20 years with Laban, an idolater, Genesis 31. Israel in Egypt 430 years, in Babylon 70, Israel under the Romans with Herodians, Pharisees, what of all these? The godly rulers and church, sometimes pilgrims, sometimes servants, sometimes captives, never having the sword nor power of it as magistrates to take order with false teachers, did peaceably dwell with them. Ergo, godly magistrates, armed with the sword, must now suffer the sheep of Christ to be worried and preyed upon by wolves. This consequence is nothing. This is a facto ad jus, and to argue from the controverted peace of heathen. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, are on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at area code 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to ad@swrb.com. or swrb@swrb.com with the word ad in the subject line. SWRB's email list is a double opt-in list, so once you've sent us your email address, you will be asked by email to confirm that you want to join our list using the email address you have supplied. Your email information will be kept confidential, and you can easily remove yourself from our email list by simply emailing us at swrb at swrb.com with the word remove in the subject line. Once you are on our email list, you will be alerted to all the new free Reformation resources, free MP3s, free electronic books and text, etc. SWRB makes available on the web as well as at times to our best discounts and super specials. We also encourage you to reproduce this audio resource and to pass it on to your friends, but we only authorize this as long as the full contents of the message, including the header and trailer, is not altered in any way, and as long as the audio file or cassette is given away for free. Thank you again for listening to this SWRB reading, and remember that Isaiah 26:3 states, quote, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 concludes, quote, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you."